I brushed the gravel from my bleeding hands and promptly fell into the creek. The thing was only about 4 feet wide, but was covered by a skim of snow. I pulled myself up from the freezing water and slogged in the mud to the other side and onto the bank. I looked upward but couldn't see anything. Cupping my hands to the sides of my mouth, I yelled again, "Dog!" I stood, looked up the escarpment, and sighed. I saw where the beast had scrambled its way up and began the long haul. This trail was a little wider and not quite as steep, or maybe I just had the advantage of knowing where my feet were. About halfway up, I had to stop to catch my breath, and I was starting to appreciate the cooling effect of soaked clothing. Raising my hands again, I called out, "Dog!" I still couldn't see anything. Trudging forward, I did what I always did in these situations, and simply began putting one sodden boot in front of the other, until I finally made the edge of the buffalo jump. I stood there. The trees were thinner, and I could see farther into them from up close, but there was still no sign of Dog. Just a little panicked, I stumbled forward and looked in all directions, still seeing nothing. I yelled again, "Dog!" Still nothing. Listening to the breeze pushing through the pines, I turned and looked back at where my truck was parked, about a mile away. Yelling some more, I started into the trees, looking to my left and right. There was a slight rise, but then the landscape settled into a flat with stunted juniper trees and more high grass. At the center of the ridgeline, there was Dog, sitting obediently looking at one of the junipers. "What the heck are you doing?" He glanced at me, but then returned his attention to the bush. When I was almost right behind him, I followed his eyes to where a weathered piece of cardboard was lodged in the trunk, and a single ribbon tied to a branch, twisting in the breeze. Bright red. I reached over and took the card from the bark and scrubbed at one of Dog's ears. Looking back across the canyon, I thought about Genie One Moon. About a scarf. About the color red. I called Henry from the payphone at the big store and then went outside to sit below one of the cottonwoods, a container of chicken and two drinks at my side. Jimmy Lane came around the corner and stopped when he saw me. He looked like he was ready to make a break for it. Our meeting in Billings hadn't been an altogether pleasant one, but I had nothing against the man other than his white supremacist friends. "Hi, Jimmy." He didn't seem to know what to say to that, so I reintroduced myself, even though I was pretty sure he knew who I was. "Walt Longmire, the sheriff from down in Absaroka County?" "Yeah, yeah." He studied my clothes. "How'd you get so dirty?" "I had a fall. I guess I looked worse than I thought. What are you doing here in Lame Deer?" He cleared his throat and then looked around. "Game. Your daughter's basketball game?"
"Yeah."
"I'm sure she'll be happy to see you." I wasn't actually sure that was the case, but it was something to say. "Want to have a seat?"
"No."
He glanced around.
"I'm supposed to meet some people."
"Your friends I met at your place in Billings?"
No. Some other people."
"Are you sure you don't want to have a seat?"
"Yeah, I'm good."
I gestured. "Why don't you have a seat?" He still stared at me. "No one can see us, so I don't think it'll ruin your reputation." He sat, and I shoved him Henry's iced tea. I could always buy the bear another. "There are a lot of theories about how you can tell if somebody's lying to you. Did you know that?" He didn't answer, but slid the cup the rest of the way toward him and stuck the straw in his mouth. "All kinds of indicators. The only ones that are really hard to catch are pathological liars because they have trouble themselves discerning between a lie and the truth. They blur those lines so much that they can't tell the difference anymore." He pulled the straw from his lips.
"So?"
"From our brief time together, Jimmy, I can say without reservation that you are not pathological, at least when it comes to lying." He shook some strands of hair from his face.
"Cool."
"The downside of that is that when confronted with a trained investigator, I can pretty much guarantee they would be able to tell when you're lying."
"Are you a, what was it, trained investigator?"
"Yep." He rested his elbows on the tabletop.
"So, what have I been lying about?"
"Oh, pretty much everything you've said in this brief conversation."
"Prove it."
"I don't have to, because I don't really care. I'm just curious as to why in the world you're not wanting to assist me in finding out what happened to your one daughter and attempting to protect the remaining one. I mean, these are your children.